Okay, I can see myself, we're ready to go. Can I have the roll call, please?
Hart.
Present.
Hepler.
Here.
Ormsby.
Here.
Peters. Rafferty. Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes from the April 18th meeting as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of April 18th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So good evening and welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission for May 16, 2018. I see a number of you in the audience, so I'm expecting then we will be hearing from you at the appropriate time. So when that comes, per your particular case you're interested, there's a microphone to my right and to your left back there that we would love to have you come up and give us your input, state your name, and then your interest in the case. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Chairman, the first case before us tonight involves a revisit of a rezoning request, and the site essentially is right here off of Devil's Glen Road. We have a rezoning and a land use amendment request for the location here. This area up here has already been rezoned R5, so that area there essentially falls under that category of zoning. What you're looking at is essentially this elongated area right here along Devil's Glen Road, looking to the east, and down here you have 53rd Avenue. This is the area right here along a utility road that comes back into a substation, and this is the retaining wall area back up here, property that we're looking at as an L-shaped area right there. This is the concept that's been presented to the commission for the townhouse development that would go into the proposed rezoned area. This development here would be placed within the area that is already R5, and this would be more multifamily type rental. This more of an individual family, but in a townhouse configuration, the parking being contained inside the structure. Down here we have points that the developer has made regarding the density of the traffic and then the comparison to the Springs, which is adjoining, or I should say to the east across Crow Creek, and looking at the density comparisons between the two different developments. This is the way that the configuration is currently with the zoning in place, showing that this building here is now essentially under this plan, at least would need to have the C5 zoning classification to straddle these two zoning classes. Typically we do not want to see buildings in that position. So if the rezoning were to be approved in the land use amendment, that building then would be absorbed, or the entirety of the lot would all become R5. And this is currently A1 agricultural recreation conservation and in greenway designation for land use. Staff in reviewing the proposal would recommend that the consideration of the calculations presented by the petitioner be considered in making their decision regarding whether or not this lot should be changed for its land use and zoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please. Anyone?
I think I have one.
Go ahead, Jim.
There's only one access onto Devil's Glen Road from this
Correct.
Proposed development?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go back to the aerial, Greg, and show on the aerial, yeah, thanks, roughly where that's going to be? And maybe we can just talk about that, for I have the same question, too, where that proposed entrance comes in relative to the median. There's a raised median there, and then there's a striped median, I believe, as well. And Brent, maybe you could give us some feedback on the logistics of that.
Yeah, that's correct, right. They had to locate that between, I believe, two utility poles around the east side. It is south of the raised median, not an issue to cross through the crosshatched median there, the painted median. And we did have them also move it a little further south during site planning for a future expansion of that left turn lane as well. Because we would like to add approximately 100 foot of stacking length to that, and this will accommodate that.
Yeah, that's good, because it stacks up there quite a bit.
Yep, it does, yeah. Quite a bit.
And with all the apartments coming to the north and everything else, it's going to yep. continue to increase there. Did that address your question, Jeff?
Yeah, but I think so. What's the distance between that proposed entrance and the entrance to the park that is south of it?
There's actually a gravel drive in between that serves the
so
substation.
There's like three
too.
Entrances within a short period of.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess the distance between that and the park entrance at, you know, those are 10 foot apiece, 100 feet, give or take, 150 feet, somewhere in there.
I mean, the gravel drive in the middle obviously is used very rarely.
Yeah, so we essentially don't count that, just a utility drive. And we don't have any line of sight issues there. That entrance to the park is obviously not nearly as frequently used as the main light, the main signal intersection.
Other questions, Jeff? I've got a couple, Greg, then. And you can stand that one right there. So on the north end, we've got the proposed building, finished floor elevation, looks like 677 there. What's the setback from that building to the property line there?
Depends on how this was construed. As this would be, I believe, I think when we discussed this, that was considered to be the rear yard. And this is the front yard because it is facing the right of way here. So as a result, the front yard is right here. This is the rear yard. There is no right of way up here. So essentially, you're looking at that being the front yard.
So on the north side, on the side yard then, the north side yard, what's the difference or distance from?
That should be about 5 feet, I think. It's R5.
Wow. Okay, that was one setback. Two, where's the trash going here?
I don't recall exactly. I think
it's not a site plan.
Oh, we've got somebody going to help us.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm Dave Kemp, and I'm partnering with Dave Ryan on this project. As far as the garbage, I mean, we haven't gotten to the detailed site plan. We're just looking at the R5 zoning on the bottom right now, but there's plenty of parking when you add up the total parking spots, so we would have some area designated for garbage that's enclosed and covered from view eventually in the site plan when we come for the site plan approval.
Yeah, and a little chicken and egg. I'm just trying to see the vision forward. Because my first impression and what we struggled with last time is this is 10 pounds in a 5 pound bag of sure. coverage and everything, and just want to get a feel. So some other questions, and maybe they're more site plan appropriate, and maybe you can conceptually tell me about it. And Chief or Fire, how do we turn around our trucks? Is that in that hammerhead up there? Where's our snow going? And on the south end of that current A1, the parking, how do people effectively back out and turn around and get back out? Or do they have enough room to back out of that farther south stall the way it's designed and then drive forward, or do they have to kind of back all the way up?
Yeah, probably not in that last spot, but again, there's excess parking. So when we get to our final, we just put that many parking spots in to verify, yeah, we can get this many spots. But there's, when you add it up, I don't know if we got 20 extra spots, and then we need, you know, if you add in all the garages and the townhouses.
Yeah, I did not have a garage count, but I just did surface and bedrooms, and I came up, there were 64 bedrooms and 74 parking places, but I did not have the count for the buildings.
So we would eliminate some of those spots if we need, you know, access issues for being able to back out the end spots. And then again, the garbage as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Roy, during full site plan review,
yeah,
we would require bump outs on the end stalls. You can see, it's hard to see there, but it is a 5-foot side yard setback, to answer your question there, and it does label minimum five foot, a total of 15 foot. So on that south side, they've obviously got the 10 feet plus.
When we come back with the site plan, most likely we'll reverse that, move that building uphill, have 10 feet behind it, 5 feet on the other side.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then where's our floodplain come in?
Have we discussed with them in detail.
They walked over there, drove over there yesterday.
It's going to be very close. That's a call out that they're going to have to work with us on the detailed site plan. When I scale it out, it may not touch the northernmost building, northeast corner, but it's going to be very close.
Close.
On a detailed site plan, we'll have that down to a matter of inches, and we've discussed that with them.
Okay. All right.
Roy.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah, please.
My main question to you gentlemen is, what has changed since you brought it to us last month, aside from moving, you know, the drive down a little bit and showing the density comparisons? Have you changed anything since we reviewed this last month?
We haven't changed anything, but we researched and got data on all the concerns. And density was probably the biggest concern, and as well as traffic. Like traffic, you know, we analyzed what that, you know, four-lane road is typically designed for, roughly 37,000 traffic counts currently. The DOT says around 12,000. This apartment complex will only add roughly 310 trips per day. So that's only a 2.5% increase in overall traffic. So it's really a negligible amount of impact on the traffic. As far as density, it's similar density to the Springs per number of bedrooms per usable acre, but it's a lot smaller development than that.
And I ran some math on that too after you guys, and that, thank you for adding that additional insight into the density and the traffic. I came up that if you use the same ratio as the adjoining Springs, you would have 37 units and you've got 43. So on a apples to apples, it looks to me like on your 6 units heavy, if you're looking at the Springs as being the benchmark. And just from an observation of maybe, Greg, go back to the aerial that we've got. One of the things that helps in a sense with the Springs, just as a feedback comment, is it's got rotation around both sides of the building. It just feels much more open over there, and I don't know what you use for calculations on usable space in that, but with the pond and the circular park or the parking all the way around the buildings, at least on the perimeters, it just feels much more open than what we're looking at here. So it's still feeling like it's 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag, but we'll ultimately deal with that at the site plan point, I'm assuming.
I think the other part of that is that Springs empties out onto 53rd, and we're talking about adding more onto Devil's Glen, which are not very comparable in my book as far as traffic flow and density and what other activities are going on during the day in that area.
Yeah, it's a separated four-lane road versus a non-separated four-lane road. But but if you look at the overall traffic right now, that Devil's Glen is only a third of what technically it could be rated for. And if we're only adding 310 trips to that, it really doesn't impact it that much. Now, if we drop it, we could drop down to 37 units. I mean, yeah, that'll drop it down a little bit. But we haven't gotten into the detailed site plan yet.
Yeah, agreed. Just a little vision for you, so, yeah. Because it just feels heavy, but okay. Anyone else from the commission? Yeah, well, you're back there. Anyone else from the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Anything else you wanted to add while we've got you there? Nope. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back to the commission. We've got two to look at here.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-029, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-029, subject to staff recommendations, land use amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we also approve case number 18-030, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-030, subject to staff recommendations. And just a discussion on that for a moment. I personally am going to be looking pretty tight at, maybe that's a bad word, closely at the density, because I'm still concerned about how much we're putting on a very, very small little space. The concept of developing it, I'm not entirely against by any means, but the volume of it's a little concerning. So that's my comments for the future.
I think also site plan. The proximity of the entrance to the park.
Yeah, and then there were some comments too in the notes about the evergreens being put in, and have some questions, and we can look at details when the site plan comes on and the landscape plan on the caliber and size of those, because we've got some real close proximities here, so mm-hmm. a number of things to look at.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, any other discussion other than mine? All right, again, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-030, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay.
All right. Greg?
Our next case, Mr. Chairman, involves an area. Here's 53rd Avenue. And then we have a road connection that comes down to this area through the settlement of Pigeon Creek. 8th and 9th editions, or I should say 8th edition. The area is roughly 8th edition here that is being looked at for rezoning. Presently it's ULI, so the urban low intensity permits the R1 zoning for that area. This is the concept for the entirety of what is being requested in the rezoning. But this is what is being considered tonight as well for the preliminary plat. Here's your rezoning graphic showing the A1 to R1 and outlining that. And this is the preliminary plat that has been produced by the petitioner. Staff would ask, is one of those conditions that there be an easement placed here, I believe, for stormwater that has been requested by our engineering department across lots 5 through 8. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval of both the rezoning and the preliminary plat with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. So let me see, was the easement referenced in the
I believe it was plant? In the staff report.
Drainage is item 5, got it, okay. And I had a question too, Greg. Item 6 on 18-045, the preliminary plat, it made reference to cul-de-sac design to city specifications cost sharing agreement. Has that been tentatively agreed to then?
I believe our city engineer can elaborate on that.
Yeah, we've been looking at making some changes to our minimum radius to accommodate the larger service vehicles that we have, garbage trucks, the larger snow plows, so we don't have to keep adding individual pickup trucks on our cul-de-sac crews with as many as we're adding in. So we are going to be coming forward most likely with we're not sure on timing, with a full revision to the subdivision ordinance or another small modification to the current one to increase the diameter of the cul-de-sacs. In the meantime, what we're going to be approaching the developers with is to see if they'd be willing to, in the interim, go ahead and construct that larger one, and we would pay for the increased pavement size.
I live on a cul-de-sac, and I see the city leaves a lot of rubber marks, which is tire wear on the turning and churning. So if they can make one swoop, that would probably work great.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have not had a chance, unfortunately, to sit down with all the developers. We'll be doing just like we did during our stormwater ordinance revisions.
Okay, makes sense. Great. Thanks. Other questions from anyone in the commission?
This reads to me that...
It is. I think there's a typo. I noticed that, too, just for the record, Lisa, proposed zoning classification, I think they're transposed there.
Switched. Yep.
So it should be R.
It says it's currently R1, proposed as A1.
It's flip-flop that, yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Good eye.
I don't think we want to do it the back that way.
Anyone else in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-040, the rezoning subject to staff recommendations.
And the correction.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-040, subject to staff recommendations and the typo correction. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-040 is approved.
I'll also move for approval of case 18-045, the preliminary plat with the same flip-flop correction, subject to staff recommendations as itemized.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-045, subject to staff recommendations as well as the typo correction. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-045 is approved. Okay, thanks. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we have again a rezoning for this parcel, which currently is under commercial C2 designation. This last time out, you saw the Starbucks located there. This area here is proposed as R5. When we saw an earlier diagram of some housing that would be located in certain portions of this site, townhouses were anticipated as those areas were zoned R5 in a rezoning process that occurred earlier. We have right now a proposal for R5 high density multifamily residence district. This is already community commercial. The land use permits that designation for what is lot one of AAA Office Park, 4th edition. The concept that we saw had 8 of these different structures broken down on this for what was the Starbucks coffee location. And this is a separate lot right here where those townhouses are proposed. Staff, in reviewing this proposal for the rezoning, would recommend approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Mr. Chairman, I have a few
questions.
Greg, you said 8 units or 8 buildings?
These are broken out, yes, already on here.
Okay.
And the developer can elaborate as to
okay.
Maybe the size of those in particular.
All right. I see now. At first I thought you meant 8 multiple units. Question I have, if you can show the aerial photo. So when we looked at this before, we saw this drive that goes along the east boundary and kicks out in the back on Palmer Hills Court. Then we also have this cut through Bettendorf Office Products, and those two are going to kick out in right next to each other. And I just wonder if there's been any discussion about how those two exit points were going to be maybe made more compatible, or are they just, is it going to stay that way?
I don't know that we've really looked at it, because of the stage that it's at right now. We would definitely address it at the site plan level to try to avoid any conflicts and see if there wouldn't be a possibility to have an easement, maybe that where there's a shared access, or if the location is in conflict, then to maybe move that location further to the west.
Okay. I didn't realize how highly trafficked that cut through was, that North Office Products, but it is. And so I just think that's an issue to look at in the next phases of this. Now we're adding another cut through place. And as more development occurs back there, or changes back there, then that could increase the traffic.
Good point.
That's the only questions I have.
I have a question. Is that southernmost lot that borders Middle Road, that's the one we approved a few months ago with the drive you were talking about on the middle?
It's right in, right out.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So, and there's a black line between those two lots, which is the lot line. Are the people on the north, is the business on the northern lot going to be able to cross that line and use the exit through the Starbucks lot?
I believe that this easement, I believe that this is an access easement also, so there should be.
It is.
Yeah, it's a cross access easement.
It is.
Eight units. Okay.
So, that out of luck, this is Middle Road, and that's the quarter apartment for townhouses. It's like a racetrack.
So, the whole, that access easement goes all the way from Palmer Hills Court to Middle Road?
Correct.
Ray, can you pop back to the aerial for a minute, please? Can you just mark on there where the other R5 is, or R?
I believe it's these two parcels right here.
Okay.
And this is also R5 up here.
Okay, thanks.
Say that one more time, Greg. Those are all R5?
These are all R5. Well, yeah.
And then the empty lot south of those three.
Yep.
I think that's
we've already addressed that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wanted to bring that one up because I actually think that'll help with the cut-through traffic that Bettendorf office has, because they're now going to have three entrances into the service road that's on the south of High, that's running on the west side of the strip center there. Mm-hmm. So some of that traffic that's currently coming from Hy-Vee and cutting through Bettendorf office, I think might end up being distributed between those three or four access points if people are still going to try to get to Palmer Hills Court.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I mean, my comment is that I think as residents of Bettendorf, we've become so used to that land being vacant that
green space.
It's going to seem dense once that's fully developed and the traffic pattern emerges. Mm-hmm. But they're certainly entitled to use the land as it's zoned.
But it's currently zoned C2.
Yeah.
And everything around there is commercial as well on the AAA court region. It just seems odd to me to put residential right in the middle.
That's where I wanted to see where the other R5 was. And that's planned for multifamily where the R5 is.
Those were townhouses, I believe.
Yeah.
The developers here, he could indicate that.
It'll be more compatible than it appears now. Did we have the developer here?
I don't see him here.
I didn't see him here either. No. Okay, anyone in the audience? Are we back to the commission? Any questions further? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? No? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-042, rezoning subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-042, subject to staff recommendations, rezoning. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18-042 is approved. Okay. Thanks. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves a location coming down here, Devil's Glen, turn here, and then you come down Pius Lane to this locale right here. You have a commercial here. You have R3 here. You have R4 zoning here. And then you have R2 zoning in this area. The land use shows community commercial for that locale where this is. And the petitioner, because of that zoning, or I should say because of that land use, just as we saw before, is requesting that this zoning be changed to an R5 designation. And essentially what you're looking at is the plat outline of Keebler's third edition and seeing the lots that are involved with that. You have, and I'm going to go to the overhead on this to maybe show the aerial a little bit better of what this all entails. It's a rather complicated site. You have a detention basin that's existing here. And this basin drains this direction.
And what outlets. Does it capture? What from what area serves that?
Really, it may be here. The problem that you have is that this is a downward slope coming here, and then there is a ravine that directly feeds right into that trailer park. It goes right in there. And I went out there today to take a look because I haven't been out to the site in some time. But you can see where this goes. So you're getting drainage that comes this direction. It's just something to consider in looking at this site. And then you also have a massive grade change, probably about 30 feet right here, where there's a drop off.
It's so, a cliff. Yeah, there's a cliff there.
And the question I also have too is, what is this exactly, this area? Because it seems rather interesting that you're driving this direction and you have this barrier right here seemingly of soil or a mound, and then this is all flat, whereas this has been going downhill, and then suddenly you reach this flat spot. So the question I would have for any future building is this fill of some sort just for the structure, and that's an engineering issue that we will probably want to look at later. Also too, we have the difference between R4 and R5 zoning. This is currently all R4, all these lots, and I just want to put the chart up real quick. I tried to cram as much data on there as I could to show the difference.
And Greg, that drainage into the trailer park you referenced, is that surface or piped?
That is surface.
Surface.
That's through a ravine.
Okay.
At the north end of the trailer court, there is a pipe. And I believe it goes through the trailer court out to a sewer just right out in front of that trailer court on
State Street.
State Street.
Yeah.
If you stand on top of that sewer manhole, you can hear it running.
Essentially what you're looking at, and I tried to, the unfortunate thing is I tried to put it all in one graphic. It's rather small to print, but.
Can we turn it?
I'll turn it the other way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not gonna work. Get this thing to fit.
That's pretty good.
looking at a greater density with this, with the floor area ratio here is 2.5, 250%. So you could essentially build a structure. If you had 10,000 square feet for the lot, you could build a 25,000 square foot structure. When you go and look at it at the R4, you're looking at a floor area ratio, I believe, of 0.7. Right here. So there's a massive difference between the two, and if you look at the surrounding neighborhood, you look at structures that are somewhat multifamily, but of a lower scale, about maybe 2.5 stories. They're governed by R4, in some cases R3. There's duplexes. The further up you go, up highest to the north.
It's almost a factor of four you're talking about, from like 0.7 to 2.5, right?
Yeah, and what you're looking at essentially is the setbacks are the same, except if you do go up certain number of stories in the R5, there is another added separation that will have to occur. And since I don't have the elevations here, I don't know how tall the structure is going to be. We would have to look at that at the time any site plan came around, and then there would be a restraining effect to what would happen if the structure exceeded, I believe, 2.5 stories. And there is a setback requirement on the side yards, the rear yard, and front yard that is greater. Because remember, some of you still were on the commission here, I believe, when we had that incident, that structure was proposed on 21st Street, and that facilitated a discussion with the council, and they wanted some more stringent requirements to be brought in to deal with densely packed types of development, and that's what the end result was. So,
Greg, with the R4 and the R5, what's the difference in what's allowed for stories?
Well, you would look at, you could have a 10-story, or I believe 150 feet.
That's correct. 10-story, right, 150-foot in R5.
And then you only would have, I believe, about 2.5 or 35 feet within this district here. Now, you can, maybe 40 might be the maximum, or 3 stories, but that would
correct.
Be, right, yeah, for one structure, one type. So that would be your maximum. There's a quite a difference. It's a 2.5 times factor, if you will, difference.
We've got someone at the podium. Did you want to shed some light on the context of our?
I'm going to exit out of that. The petitioner has a presentation he would like me to.
Would you like us to shed light on the height? Is that where you're?
Yeah, well, I didn't know who was back there.
Oh,
so
that was the, we're the developers.
Okay. And who are you, sir?
Gerald Serrato, the owner of the
property. The other fellow that was there first.
I'm Brandon Bedford. I own and operate Glendale Mobile Home Park.
Okay. Can we finish with the presentation, then I'll take you as a respondent then. That'd be great. Thanks.
This is a presentation given to me by the developer. Essentially, you're looking at this area here that is under consideration. And this is an example of the structures, the interior of the apartments that they would want to construct.
Well, actually, what we had done is we had this be our first new construction in the Bentendorf area. So we put a little introduction together, and that's what this is. As for the reference of the height of the building, our intention would be a two-story.
Two-story. Okay, thanks.
The pictures that
your renovations, I'm assuming this is before and this is after, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We wanted to kind of just, since we're new to this, and obviously the people here don't probably know us, and we haven't been through this process before. We took on some projects in Bentendorf that were somewhat neglected, and then we transformed them into, we think, are pretty nice leasing properties now. And so we wanted to show you kind of the quality of job that we do, and let you know the purpose or the goals that we have for new properties in this area.
I appreciate that.
And this would be you go to the previous slide there, this would be a sample of the exterior. This footprint of the building allows anywhere from 12 to 24 units. This is a picture of 12 units, 8 two-bedrooms, 4 one-bedrooms, all with attached garages and 2 stories.
So, Greg, what's driving the R5 versus the R4 with this size building that's shown?
I don't know what the petitioner was requesting that would make them different, because you're going to have an R4 permission, or you're permitted to build the structure, multifamily, in these configurations within the confines of the zoning ordinance, as they describe it.
The current zoning ordinance?
Yes.
It was my understanding that we would have R5 for the 34 units, and that's why we requested the zoning change.
Unless it be a density issue, but I don't know that, as we showed on that chart, I don't know that per se we have a defined density as we do in a, you know, like a UMI or UHI. There would be a defined density of 7 to 12 units per acre. Here there is not that requirement. We base it off of, again, that floor area ratio and then how much area could be built out, but we do not base that off of any type of density issue.
What's our total acreage on this parcel, or the combined parcels?
I believe 2.56.
2.56. And you're proposing a total of, would you say 34?
Yes, I did, and 34 did with the current configuration of the building. So, I mean, it was anywhere from like 34 to 36 units in the two buildings.
Mr. Chairman, I neglected to speak up earlier, but I believe I need to abstain from discussion and voting on this.
Okay, thank you. Are we still within our quorum? Within? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we got 34. And what did you say it was, 2 point what?
2.56, 2.56 per the assessor site.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of just doing the math. I'm wondering if there really needs to be a rezone to accommodate what's being contemplated based on what we're hearing.
Greg, you're saying
it's up to the petitioner if he would like to defer this or go forward with it or whatever, but if there is no need for that, it's up to the body to, you know, working with the petitioner, to come to a decision. But I don't see there's any restrictions that I can find within the R4 that if they wanted to build just the two stories, I think they pretty much got what they need.
Yeah, where are your garage units at? Are you...
The garage units are built into the footprint of the building, so there's interior stairways, so they'd be underneath the main roof line.
So I guess I'm wondering, what is your total height, and does that fit into the R4?
I believe if you could go back to the structure picture, I believe it is in small print, but it should be listed on there. You may have to zoom in, though.
Okay, I'm going to have to get on this.
And go all the way to the end. Right there. Over on that.
Will that blow up?
I'll walk up to the screen and look.
Sure, yeah. What was the height restriction on the R4?
35.
40 feet.
40 feet?
All right. That's a multi-family for 40 three
feet,
stories.
40 stories.
Well, I'm giving them 20 foot a story. They should be okay.
Yeah,
with
the
height
screen is too blurry.
None of the elevation creates a taller building to account for the grade?
Hmm.
Appears.
Just just where I'm going from standpoint, it doesn't appear that, based on what you're representing, you need the R5, and I'd be inclined not to be in favor of the R5 personally, don't know about the rest of the commission, because of, when I look at the surrounding use for zoning, we've got the R4, we've got the R2, and the flavor of the neighborhood when you come in is not R5. And I wouldn't want to turn it into R5, but R4 to accommodate what you've got here looks palatable.
Yeah, if R4 was, you know, if it was allowed in R4, we would not need R5.
We've got somebody else raising her hand in the audience there. I don't know. So I guess a little guidance from staff and the petitioner on how they want to proceed based on.
Well, I guess in our opinion, if it's a permissible from the committee, then we'd move forward with R4, building the 34 units or 36 units that we have planned to the site plan development portion.
Yeah, because we're in the, this would be for the rezoning, and it may not be needed.
How do we, I guess the question we would have is, how do we get confirmation on that? Is that at this committee here tonight, or is it?
Not us, but staff would probably need to take it back and review it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, please.
You know what your square footage of these buildings will be? Your big difference between the two zoning classes is your floor area ratio. And I wondered if the discussion was that you needed the floor area ratio higher.
Previously did not have that conversation. I do not have my laptop with that square footage information, but I can get that. It's not on 40.
Just to keep this moving, I would say that I'd have a tough time moving this to C5 regardless, or R5 regardless.
Yeah.
I think our best solution right now is to defer this so that it can be confirmed for the developers that the current zoning is appropriate for the project you want. Okay. And if that confirmation is made, then you're moving forward with the site plan.
That is acceptable.
From a standpoint, that's a great idea, too. We don't want to design this thing on the floor of the commission.
Right.
So would we have to come back to a future meeting then, or?
If you need to rezone.
Yeah. Okay, only if we need to rezone.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
And there's also, if you don't have to rezone, of course, there is a site development plan that would have to be submitted. And then it would be up to you. You would have potentially these structures, I think, straddling some lot lines, and that would be something I think you would probably want to clean up.
We'll discuss that at the staff level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
So from a procedural standpoint, do we want a motion to defer?
I think maybe the best way to move forward would be to get a motion to defer, and it, between now and the next meeting, we will have worked with the petitioner to determine if rezoning is necessary. If you still want to move forward, if we determine that it is, then we will just take it up in the next meeting. So I would suggest a motion to defer.
Okay.
Everybody's good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody make a motion for me.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we defer case 18-043.
We are against the rezoning.
Okay, right now we're not looking to rezone it. We're going to defer it because we don't believe, potentially based on what they're proposing to put on the property, it would need to be rezoned.
That's fine. My name is Greg Gessel. I own property on Pius Lane, 898 Pius Lane. And I understand that you're just pushing this off now. It will be not considered as R5, which I thought would be totally inappropriate. There's a certain expectation when a person buys a property that the surroundings, as well developed as Pius Lane are, would continue in a similar pattern. And a gross departure from that is something that I think does not serve the people that are taxpayers there. Now, even if it is R4, I think there is a consideration as far as density. This is compounded by the fact the street is a dead end already. And you're talking about 34 units here, possibly anywhere from 68 to maybe even 100 cars. We're talking about parking issues and also issues of driving up and down the street. So I would ask that you consider that. Is there a mechanism for ensuring that even if it remains R4, we don't end up with a congested mess as a result of this?
I don't know that I can answer all those questions directly. What they would have to do is, number one, if their proposed building fits within the current code provisions for an R4, they are entitled to develop on it, subject to an acceptable site plan. That site plan would have to have the requisite number of parking places on site for the property relative to the code. So that's a function of building size and square footage for the number of parking places. As to the total number of vehicles and the traffic, there's nothing at this level that can be done other than normal traffic controls that are already in place. And I would look to the engineering staff, any other comments relative to that, but.
Other than we would address it at site plan stage.
These are all site plan issues. It'll come before this body again. It'll be a public hearing, and everybody can be heard on the matter.
Okay, I think that's worthwhile, because it looks to me like you have some serious drainage and other issues on that property as well that could actually reduce the footprint.
That's the proper forum where we'll take care of.
Thank you for your input. Yep, appreciate it. Yes, sir, you were up first, but you're going to be ending last.
My concern was stormwater, so I guess when site plan is submitted. The stormwater issue we have is that if we get a good-sized rain with that property being empty, there is a retention basin up there, but there is a pipe that goes from that basin through the berm and empties into that culvert. And if we get a good-sized rain, I get 6 feet of water in my storm basin that runs to State Street, and I have lots that are flooded out. So that is a huge concern with it being undeveloped right now. We're being flooded at Glendale, and I just want to make sure that there's going to be something in place to prevent us from being flooded out anymore.
Yeah, and from a staff standpoint, part of the development requirements in the site plan will be water retention or detention.
That was my concern.
Yep, appreciate that. And then also footnote, I think Greg makes a good point, and I looked at it as well. Have you guys done any soil borings out there and determined what the makeup is of that? Might be a good look, just based on, it seems a little unnatural looking at it, which would lend you to believe maybe it was filled at some point. We might have some insight on that up there.
I can tell you real quick that I've got aerials from, my family's owned the park for close to 60 years, and I've got aerials where that was all pasture land, and it goes back, and then it shoots straight up, so that's been filled in.
Okay. Yep, appreciate that insight. All right. Okay. Oh, I had a motion and I didn't get a second.
I'll second.
Defer. All right, good. Thanks for the procedural catch there. We have a motion and a second to defer case 18043. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, opposed? 18043 is deferred. That was a little unusual in our process there. So, all right, thanks for hanging in with that. Craig?
Mr. Chairman, we have another case involving rezoning. This is in the Woodlands edition. And the area is back here where these lots are. They were not originally included in the rezoning process. And what you have is you have these two lots right here of the Woodlands first edition, and then you have I put a magnification in of the Woodlands second, these two lots here, which essentially are right here, which are being included, which were not part of the R1 zoning. They are still A1. So as the developer would like to see something built on those lots, they have to follow the proper zoning classification in order to do it. The area right now is ULI, and the R2 zoning would fit in within the confines of that. This is the original outline for the rezoning right here. This area here now is being included. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the rezoning request, given that it meets our requirements for the land use and that single family housing is what is anticipated for that site. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. And we just recently replatted this, right? We enlarged one or two of those lots up there. And then now this is putting the zoning to complete the development capability.
Yeah, there's more that'll be added on at some future date for final platting, but this here will permit the proper zoning designation on what had been platted.
Because we just enlarged one of the lots from a half acre to 0.7 or something. I remember doing that not long ago. Okay. Any questions from the commission? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? I see Mr. Windmiller heading for the podium.
Craig Windmiller here.
A lot of energy there, Craig. Yeah.
Clarification, Greg, and maybe I heard you incorrectly. We're zoning this to R2, and I thought I heard you say R1.
Yeah, it's R2 for because everything else out here is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we approve case 18-046, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18046, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. 18046 is approved. Thank you. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us involves a preliminary plat for Utica Hills. This area is outlined in blue. This portion of ground here was recently or was going to be acquired, and that aspect of this, at some point, we may need a justification because it was taken from this parcel. This may require replatting by adding this in because this is a substantial piece of property, and under state statute, actually, when there's a more large piece, just not a small exchange, that has occurred, it requires a replatting, so that would just bring that in as a consideration when the whole schmear is final platted. Everything around there is primarily two, pointing out the zoning. It's C3, C1, C6. This is C6 also, as well as this parcel. The site is going to be served by an easement access, which would be paved to city standards for drainable base and width at 31 feet. However, everything within that easement and all utilities on site will be the responsibility of all of the lot owners collectively. We have stormwater detention anticipated right here for this area, and then we have the breakout of the lots, the main lots, for all of these particular proposals. And each of them will require a site plan and a site plan approval process to make their way through. At this time, this is the configuration we see. In the future, there may be a further issue regarding the access off of I-74 that could result in a more direct connection to this subdivision. And also there might be perhaps a possibility that this area here, which is already occupied right here by a strip mall and also gas station and convenience store, that might be acquired and added into this parcel, but that right now has not occurred. But just to bring it to your attention, staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the preliminary plat with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Greg, can you go back to the comment you made about the access from 74 and show us?
That's something that had been discussed at a staff level. I don't know where the particular entry might be. Mr. Morlock could probably elaborate on that.
From 74, you're saying, Kirk?
The ramp? Or?
The ramp,
no,
I believe.
No, there'd never be any access off there. Okay. What we talked about was the north section of the current I-74 project starts here. And that ramp will be reconfigured, so the property owners will actually be getting a little extra property back because it's going to be tightened and lengthened to the north.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they would never be granted access.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I understand.
Greg, there's a reference on note 8 under your recommendations. All required variances must be obtained. Do you know of any potential variances based on just the plat? Just that easement?
Right here, that area, and there's parking that is in the setback area here as well. And those will have to be obtained. Once this extra ground, though, is deeded over, that may not be as large of an issue because you are parking in a front yard setback technically against the interstate. But up in this area, that variance is something that will be requested before the board. And I don't know if there are any others. I think those are the main two that I can recall.
Okay. Other questions from the commission?
Greg, did you say that each one of those lots is owned by separate people?
They will be, yes.
I guess I was confused about your initial statement. Can you explain that to me again about this? If you go back to the aerial photo with the blue outlines and that little triangular piece of property?
This here is, I believe, there's an option to acquire that ground. Right now, that ground, I do not believe, is under the ownership. If the plats that were here showed an outline area like this.
Okay.
The existing plats, that's what you would see. And I had a difficult time trying to figure that out. Finally, John and myself were discussing this, and he retraced this, and also Mr. Ryder indicated that this would be a part of this development and the preliminary plat. But typically, we would maybe take something that would be like maybe a little narrow strip and allow someone to go and record that transaction. This is a rather large, substantial piece of ground, and replatting is typically the route we've taken as staff for something that large, and also to make sure that the ground here, that this is, in fact, now a different lot of record and that this is part of this subdivision. So at the final platting stage, that is something that would have to be addressed.
Okay, so this little triangular piece right now is not owned by the...
I don't believe it is, and Mr. Ryder might be able to confirm
it. Mr. Chairman, if I may.
It doesn't look like Mr. Ryder, but somebody's back there. Please, John. Yeah. Hold on just a second.
I've already discussed with the developers. Before this goes before the City Council, that purchase will have taken place.
Okay, great.
So I was comfortable bringing it before you at this time.
So okay. The final plat then would reflect different. Okay, go ahead.
My difficulty was that we have somebody proposing to replat a piece of land that they don't own.
If they have the owner's permission, they may do that.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Okay.
Yeah, there are multiple ways to do that. You can include them as a signer, basically, on the final plat, list them as an owner, and include that lot.
Okay.
The common way of doing it.
So what we're looking at tonight is everything in the blue line.
Yes.
And when we see the final plat, the ownership will be clear and
correct.
But the revised final plat could include a larger area because of the way this came out and it's coming back in, if I'm looking at that right. Okay. Other questions from the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval. Case 18-049, preliminary plat, subject to staff recommendations.
Okay.
Second that.
Great, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-049, preliminary plat, Utica Hills High Point. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. 18-049 is approved.
Hopefully we'll see it back here again soon.
Yeah. Okay, great.
This is a location that you've seen before for rezoning and preliminary plat. Tonight we're essentially looking at an area like this for approval of a final plat. area shown here in the blue outline and now on the magenta or whatever, this side here, all of this is what is being considered for replatting. There's also, or I shouldn't say replatting, for final platting, there's also an outlot area here that is included in that parcel. One of the main features is that there will be a seal coat road and there is an easement designated so that there is connectivity here in case of emergency response is needed to these lots. There will at least be this connection that will run deep here and giving some redundancy to the street structure, because you have the normal entry right here with the street going up and then fanning out over here. But if that gets blocked, fire department wanted to make sure that there is that redundancy built in so that there's a connection, an easement that will be seal coated, and that will permit the connection to all of these streets that right now have no means of connection to find a way back down and out onto Forest Grove Drive. This area basically up here is going to be your R4 and your townhouse type construction. Everything south of that street is going to be the single family. You've got an outlot here for greenery and then that one for the detention. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission? I had one big question mark on mine when I reviewed it. But so we looked previously at a preliminary site plan. That's it. It's in the packet. And so all the rest of that concept of what was going to be there. Now the current proposal takes what was on part of this and turns it into an outlot that's got nothing on it. Is it likely that it's going to come back and look like it does here? Because I'm looking at approving now instead a whole chunk for a site plan. I'm looking at, or final plat, sorry, one little section of it and with a big outlot on it.
I believe that the outlot was created, if I'm not mistaken, for not binding at this time the developer to have to maybe put in the infrastructure. I believe that might have been the reasoning. I'm not exactly sure, but we've done this, and even in your subdivision, we've had outlots created before, which was part of Tanglewood Terrace, and that was a whole outlot. Your whole entire subdivision was at one time, and then later on it was platted. So it's not out of the order of doing things. We've permitted that in the past.
I would guess part of it has to be for them to convey that temporary fire access. It has to be in a lot. It couldn't be on the, because they're, I believe, not taking ownership of the property to the east yet. So they would have to own the lot where the easement is on. And then this also probably sets them up for your next phase of development as well. Often if you know where your next phase is going to go, you can replat it as an outlot. It simplifies the final plat. It would be, if the next replat would be a replat of lot, outlot A of such and such.
So it's a transitional.
Yeah, I think it's made strictly for the phasing and then for the fire access.
Okay. I'm kind of like, okay, what just happened? All the rest of it, it turned into one big outlot. So, okay, I'm now with you directionally. That makes sense. Thanks for that. Other questions from the commission? And without completely laying one over the other, is it essentially a, other than the area that became outlots, is the rest of it identical to what was on the original
I think concept, from what we were able to determine, I believe so.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? No. Okay. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 18-047, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-047, Forest Grove Crossing final plat. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-047 is approved. Thanks. Greg?
The next project is essentially an extraterritorial review. It's in the county, and it is one of the Ben Woods properties, probably the last one that we will be looking at. It's right here, located off of Wells Ferry Road. There are city limits in Criswell, and then there's the connection, and we've already overseen these prior developments. What you have is an outlot here, and then you have six lots subsequent to that in this long strip, a means of entry coming in here vis-a-vis this street, and then a cul-de-sac. This is what the final plat looks like. We wanted to make sure that there was a sanitary sewer easement connection here for any future sanitary sewer if, in fact, the city ever decides to incorporate this as part of Bettendorf. But the plat was pretty clean. We also wanted to stipulate that this outlot would have a means of access entering through here. We don't want really a direct access. We want this vehicle to come in here and then get off that street because of the line of sight issues potentially and slowing down and reducing speed. So other than that, there wasn't really much that we asked to be changed on this plat. Staff would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report of Ben Woods Estates, fourth edition.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Questions from the commission? I guess I had questions, Greg. There were some attachments, emails that had been written to John, Wesley Taylor.
Yeah, I forgot to include those. These are some of the folks who were, I believe, protesting the development. These are extraterritorial issues. Many of them would be addressed by the county and not by ourselves. We only have a limited oversight of what can occur, and this was attached as a letter to this body, and we can only address so many of these issues. This is really more, I believe, along the lines of what the county would need to review in terms of any disruptions that may occur out there.
So our purview is just the platting issues?
Yes.
Okay, so the issues, for example, making sure that this will be handled appropriately, access to their land will not be adversely affected, methods used in Ben Woods fourth edition, those are outside of our scope.
Yes, the final say comes from the county.
Okay. So any other questions from the commission? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Okay. No one in the audience. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to approve case number 18-048.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-048, subject to the staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-048 is approved. And again, for the record, relative to the interest that was expressed or concerns that were expressed, those items are not within the purview of this body and would need to be addressed with the county. Okay, just so anybody has any questions. All right, Greg, thanks.
Next case, Mr. Chairman. Deals with a proposal for a Dunkin' Donuts. It's to be located along Middle Road. This is Middle Drive right here, Taco Bell, Burger King, and you have the auto parts store right here. You have a church here and here. This is the lot that we are looking at, lot number 4 of Victor Archer's addition. This gives you an idea of a great number of utilities running through. You do have fiber optic here. This is the view looking back over toward the Baptist Church. This is the view of the site looking back directly into the lot. The area surrounding here and here is A2 zoned. The petitioner received a variance to not have to install any landscaping in this area, but a fence has been put in as a condition separating lot 4 from lot 5 in the judgment that was rendered by the Board of Adjustment. Right here is the outline of the building. There will be a island right here to permit right in and right out access, and there's a drive-through right here. There's a condition that was listed in the report, and as this time, if I'm not mistaken, staff has determined that the license to grant access to this lot, as long as this business is a Taco Bell, there will be a connection that will be permitted here to this lot vis-a-vis Middle Drive. The one thing that staff has brought up as another condition, though, for access is that at such time as Lot 5 develops commercially, there will also be an access for 25 feet somewhere along this boundary that will permit this to be accessed, and at such time as this develops, this island goes away and this becomes a full access for this parcel, for the Dunkin' Donuts parcel, and that full access also permits access to this lot. What staff is attempting to do is to limit the number of entry points along Middle Road given the traffic volume and the speed and the fact that this is on a diagonal. So we're trying to do what we can to increase traffic safety at the same time giving access to make these lots viable so that in the future that this could go from a zoning of A2 perhaps to the C2 here, as that's what's probably going to be anticipated. This lot owner and this lot owner did not in the early 1990s sign on a petition that ended up zoning much of this area in these areas that are residential into C2 designations. These lots now, or these houses that are on these lots, are actually non-conforming, but this property owner and this property owner decided not to go that direction, and there are some islands of A2 there. But what we have to do is anticipate the future, try to make for safety considerations, and trying to make sure that there is access without creating another one here so that the access can have an economy of being shared. This is the landscape plan, and it met, the petitioner met these requirements as requested, and then a fence again being required to be installed along that boundary. This is the structure and how it looks in its various approaches. This is the back, I believe that's the front, and then we have the various views of the structure. And I believe this is a schematic trying to show that, again, there will be a sharing of that storage area up here between the Taco Bell and Dunkin' Donuts locations, and there also will be a purification mechanism here to deal with stormwater runoff. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission? This one's a little unusual.
Greg, you talked about the easement in the back between Taco Bell and the proposed property here.
Yeah, and that would be covered by a license as opposed to an easement. It's not really an easement, it's an agreement to permit that access so long as this property is maintained as a Taco Bell. So it is not something that would run in perpetuity.
How is that memorialized?
I believe our city attorney can elaborate.
The parties
the adjacent parties would enter the agreement. It would be recorded, but it doesn't run with the land, as Greg indicated.
Okay. So then what about, just one more, I want to take this one lot to the east then. Is there a potential for that access to continue if the next lot is developed across the back?
I don't know if that would be permitted, and it would be rather difficult maybe to restrict this here from being cut off. In other words, you're gaining access here and then you're allowing it in that circulation. Again, guaranteeing that, I don't know how that agreement would maybe be written. That's again up to the two parties here as to how they want to reference that. What we're concerned about is limiting more access points coming out, and that's why we want this here. And it should be a 25-foot wide easement, I believe, is what we agreed to.
Is that good?
One other question. On the, what document do we have here? The lots 1, 2, and 3 in this addition, that comprises Taco Bell?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Janessa, do you have a question then?
I do. So, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying there's a possibility that someone bought out Taco Bell, there would be, and they didn't want Dunkin' Donuts customers driving through their parking lot. Then what?
Then they only have.
There's still access, and right presumably right by then, is we're assuming, but the land to the east would have developed, mm-hmm. And so we're trying to take into account. We're trying to anticipate the future. We're trying to deal with today, and we're trying to. But we're also letting the parties deal with their issues, including the access along the back. So I think we're trying to thread the needle as best we can.
Yeah, and it's confusing to me too. And I saw Greg heading for there. A license, in my experience, is a much more temporary type deal, and it's unusual. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's unusual, created in some kind of exclusionary or restricted way. To Janessa's point, if it turns into a Taco John, it's terminated because it's not a Taco Bell. So enlighten us, please. This is, and I guess my simple question is, why wouldn't they just do an easement?
I guess that's up to me.
All right, here you go.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Greg Jaeger. I'm an attorney with the Pasternak Law Firm, representing tonight Dave Parchetti, who is the owner of the Taco Bell and the seller of the property to the applicant. The question of access could be answered shortly or in greater detail, and I'm the kind of guy who likes to talk about how the watch is made, so bear with me while I wander for just a moment. As Mr. Beck indicated, back in the early 90s, and I'm not sure that any of the current commissioners were on at that time, the area bounded by Middle Road and Belmont and Devil's Glen was designated as the Golden Triangle in the city of Bettendorf. And at that time, the city commissioned a study to see how best the Golden Triangle could develop. There was a proposed east-west street that would have accessed Devil's Glen either at the car wash or at the haircut, the barber shop, would have been the terminus of this roadway connecting from Devil's Glen straight across over to Belmont. And Middle Drive would have been a city street. At the time it was a private street, would have been taken in as a city street, extended out past those residences to this connector street as a way of trying to make this whole area develop as a commercial center for the city. What happened, however, is that, as Mr. Beck indicated, some of the property owners supported that idea, some of the property owners did not support that idea, and it was a decision of the city at that time not to simply go out and superimpose a commercial zoning
on all of these residential properties, but in essence to then say, okay, if you want to be commercial, you can be commercial, we'll support it. If you want to be left alone, we'll leave you alone. Long story short, that plan sort of died, and there was no east-west connection. I think shortly after that is when the first car wash, the coin-operated car wash, came in. And so there was no east-west connection. What staff is trying to do is, in essence, to get the parties to agree to an east-west connection without actually having an east-west connection. And that's the purpose of letting cars go through these various driveways, is to try and facilitate traffic in an east-west motion away from Middle Road to keep access points to a minimum. And that's the long background of the thing. Now, as to why an access easement or a license agreement, the long story short here is that we don't know what the future is going to bring, and these are very narrow lots. The lot in question this evening is only 90 foot wide. The lot immediately to the east of it is only 90 foot wide. Getting commercial development in these lots is very difficult. Sure, there's no plans at this time for Taco Bell to leave the area or to adjust its footprint, but at some point in the future, if the building is sold, a subsequent developer may say, I'd like to shift the building, or I'd like to increase the building footprint, depending on use. If there were an easement in place, it would make that process much more difficult. So our thought is, let's do a license agreement. Yes, let's agree that the donut place can go through the driveway over to Middle Drive. And if the lot further east ultimately develops in such a way that they would want to have access to it, I think that could be worked out as well. But not making it an easement, in essence, makes it easier for subsequent redevelopment if and when that occurs. Now, if there is subsequent redevelopment, if and when that occurs, my expectation would be that you'd have to see another site plan. And if you had to see another site plan, the issue of access could be addressed at that time. The thought would be, okay, the access easement is where it is today because that's the way the parking lot is configured. But maybe the access easement slides down, maybe it slides up, maybe you make a bend with it, depending on how the building gets designed in the future. And that's all huge speculation, because at this time, it's a Taco Bell, and it's intended to remain a Taco Bell. And so we're trying to help the staff by giving them a mechanism to get traffic over to Middle Drive, help the staff by changing what is currently a full in-and-out access for the lot under application this evening to a simple right-in, right-out access, trying to help staff by saying, okay, when the lot to the east develops, we will work with that developer to try and put in a single driveway that then becomes a full access. So we understand staff's concerns. We're trying to work with staff concern, but we're also trying to preserve our interests in the event 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, something happens and it could no longer be a Taco Bell. As of today, it's going to be a Taco Bell.
And Greg, is the owner of the business the owner of the land? Taco Bell?
Taco Bell, yes. Dave Parchetti is the owner of the ground. Dave Parchetti is also the owner of the ground that's subject to your review this evening. If all regulatory approvals are received, the property will be sold to Dunkin' Donuts.
And is Dave the operator and owner of the business, the Taco Bell business as well?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Okay. Your watch building helps. Thank you. Yes. So from a staff standpoint, then, initially it'll be a right-in, right-out.
Correct.
And the developer is okay with a right-in, right-out, so you will not be able to left turn.
Correct.
Into Dunkin' Donuts. You'd have to go down somewhere, U-turn, and come back to get in if you're north or eastbound on.
And it's an enhanced right-in, right out, you will not be able to make the...
You will jump a curb, I am...
Correct.
Yes, okay.
Roy, if you're coming from the east, you would access, as Greg's shown, the middle drive access.
And is middle drive a private road still, or is it public now?
It is city street to a point. So all the paved area is city street, basically to the back of the Taco Bell parking lot. And okay. I think there's a portion that becomes private.
And as you narrow down in the tough to develop triangle shape of property, it becomes even more problematic on that whole remaining triangle. Okay.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I think something else to add is that the developer originally, the Dunkin' Donuts developer, originally requested a full access here, actually a three-lane access, a left out, a right out, and an in. So we did restrict their access here, so that I think that kind of conveys to Greg's point of when and if the property to the east develops, you know, we have the ability at staff level to restrict their access at that point, and then would require them to, you know, work out an easement agreement to facilitate it.
That makes a lot of sense. As it develops, if you split it down the middle, the way the parking's configured adjacent to the building, you're wide open to make that work. Yeah, that's great.
How is that done? How do we make sure that if that property is developed that they have to allow an easement?
You can't make them allow the easement. We would work on the end of restricting the access point, but we cannot make them give the easement in.
Okay. I'd just like to plant a seed for a little bit further in the future.
Sure.
At the back of this property, you're putting in a retention. Mm-hmm. Which is not going to allow for a drive onto a future street that might be way on the back. But possibly the next lot over, cross easements, one out onto Middle Road and one to the
north.
To the north. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up that comment, I think the staff lever in this context is the fact that now we're agreeing to a right-in, right-out. We still want full access. And at such time as the property to the east develops, that will be the incentive for the developer.
Yeah.
We get full access if we can work it out, is how it would be.
And reasonable people can always agree, can't they? You'd think.
I found reasonable commissions always agree.
Now he's setting us up. Okay. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. All right. Anyone else on the commission with questions regarding the site plan proposal? Nope. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? No. Okay. Let's come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-005, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, great. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-005, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18005 Middle Road site development plan is approved. Okay, thanks. Greg?
Our next case involves a site development plan for a Centra Credit Union, which this is going to be the area right here for the building. Parking to be down here as well as over here. This is the replatting that occurred. And this is one of the main entries, I should say the main entry, to gaining access to the banking or the credit union facility. Here's the outline of the structure. And then you have your various drive-up, drive-throughs, exiting out here, entry here, either into the parking lot or going through the drive-through, or going into the parking area here. The landscape plan met with our requirements. We did not want any landscaping along here because of the number of utilities that are buried or above, and we did not want that interference because it is simply too densely packed with utilities. So that's why there's nothing in this area here. But the interior and some of the areas along the side had enough area to intersperse the landscaping, and the intent of the ordinance is being met by having the landscaping placed throughout the development and leaving this area here on the Grant Street side clear. This is the way the structure is represented, and looking at it from different perspectives. And staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the Center Credit Union site development plan with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I need to abstain from discussion and voting on this case.
You're going to get paid less for two, you know, no ghost tonight, you know.
Yeah.
So noted. Appreciate that. Okay. Questions from the commission, please.
Mr. Chairman, I asked about this before, so I'll acknowledge that I've asked this question before. I just want to review it. So in the thoroughfare information in the report, it talks about the vacated alley is containing a non-exclusive ingress and egress. So as I follow that through, it appears to me that in order to leave, my only path is through a lane that's a functioning lane for the credit union, either an ATM or a drive-through or
I believe there's a bypass lane.
There's
so on the mm-hmm. site plan, you can, it's hard because there's no pavement markings, but it's actually two lanes wide on the south end of the island there, so there would be a functioning lane on the north, and you can bypass to the south.
Great. Well, it's a very attractive building. It's going to be a really nice addition to the downtown, and I think it's going to really be lovely with the architecture and the trees, and I just want to be sure that we're not totally blocking people's path to get through there.
As lovely as it is, how is four stories high? Is that right? That's double the height of any other building in that entire area. It's going to really tower over everything else.
Actually, the altar building just directly across the street actually is four stories high as well.
The which building?
The altar building.
Same height as this one?
It's a four-story building as well.
Okay. I was just thinking as I was driving down there the other day that it's going to be huge. It's going to be like a little skyscraper in downtown. But it is definitely an attractive building.
We'll get some more four-story buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other questions or comments from the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? There's getting fewer of you out there to comment, so okay, back to the commission then.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I will move to approve case number 18-041.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-041, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Same sign. 18-041 is approved. Thanks. Greg? Or does that take
us to
Jeff?
Mr. Ryder is
Jeff is
on board.
We saved the best for last.
Hopefully I'll be as expeditious as possible here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The city of Bettendorf some 20 years ago established an urban renewal plan for the city of Bettendorf. One of those areas was Urban Renewal Area 4, which is along Highway 67, where you find LeClaire Manufacturing, Olympic Steel, etc. That urban renewal area had a 20-year sunset on it. We're at a point in its history where it needs to be restated. With that, there are two active TIF districts that are currently still in use, if you will. One is for LeClaire Manufacturing. Their addition was an incented project, and then also Beartooth Court. So as part of this process, Councilor Kern and I have worked diligently with our bond council to handle this appropriately because we also wanted to restate this to be as adequate as possible for future development. What we are presenting to you tonight are actually two items. The first one would be the amended Urban Renewal Area 4. Since there are two active TIF districts for those two properties, that would remain as Urban Renewal Area 4. With it, we also see the need to continue to support and to see future growth and development or redevelopment in that area of town. There's a couple of properties in question down there. The most specific and primary one I deal with quite often is the Americold facility. We certainly want to see redevelopment occur at that before it becomes a nuisance property, say 5 to 10 years down the road. As quickly as we can see some sort of development in that 400,000 square foot facility, the better. Better for jobs, better for the tax base, et cetera. So we do see an immediate need to continue with an urban renewal plan, an area that is established for this entire track down there. So the second item you would see tonight would be the establishment of what we are calling the Bettendorf Industrial Park Highway 67 Urban Renewal Area and Plan. As we've gone through this process, we did this at I-80 and Middle Road not too long back, whenever the Betplex came on board as well. We're trying to put proper names with these urban renewal areas, so as we move forward, it's very easy to identify Councillor Stone and now Councillor Curran and I, as we look through these and we try to put numbers with where they are, it gets very difficult. So a proper name has been established for this one. We have taken out some areas that were established 20 years ago, most specifically the floodplain area along the river and the single-family housing that has developed over the years along the river, and then also a couple other single-family areas within that previous urban renewal area and plan. You see those identified in some of the white areas there. Thank you, Greg. Additionally, what is required now by state statute is if there is land that has been farmed, it has nothing to do with the zoning, but if there's land that has been farmed in an urban renewal area and it is over 10 contiguous acres of farmland, within the last 3 years, you have to get consent from that property owner to be included in the urban renewal area. We have received all those consent forms by those property owners. It's not everyone that you see in here in the orangish, reddish area, but there are tracts of land here that are over 10 acres that did meet that criteria. All of those property owners that are shown have consented. We would expect in the near future, like I had said, you'd probably see, hopefully in the next couple of years, some sort of development at that Americold site or redevelopment. We work very hard with QC First in the Chamber to try to find a new user. Also, an industrial spec building project will be coming sometime in the near future as well to hopefully incent new development with new manufacturing and industrial jobs as well. Other than that, this is pretty much simply a restatement of what we had established some 20 years ago to promote and incent growth and development in the manufacturing corridor of Bettendorf, create jobs and new tax base. I would request tonight a motion to approve the amended urban renewal area number 4 to include that Beartooth Court and the LeClaire manufacturing site. And then I would also ask if there could be a motion to establish the Bettendorf Industrial Park Highway 67 urban renewal area and plan. And I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Just one question on the consents you referenced. You said everybody you needed had consented?
That's correct.
What if somebody didn't? I'm just curious. What
we
if somebody
just carve them out?
Carve them out. Okay.
Yeah. The reality of the situation is, Mr. Chairman, there's no tax burden. There's no implication there for any of these property owners. In my opinion, it personally provides them the ability to better market their property if they are trying to sell it, because there is that potential for the city to support projects or development, however that looks. So quite often when we work with the state of Iowa or the chambers, this gives us the capacity to say, yes, there is the ability to work with a developer or a development to create whatever it is we'd like to see, new jobs, bigger, better buildings, et cetera. But if they did not consent, we did have one of those up in the I-80 Middle Road corridor, we simply carve them out.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sure.
Any other questions from anyone in the commission? We'd look for two motions then.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve case 18-050, the amendment to urban renewal area number 4, submitted by Jeff Ryder, City of Bettendorf.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for area 4 as submitted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion 4 is approved. You're on a roll, Jeff.
Mr. Chairman, I would
motion to establish
the Bettendorf Industrial Park Highway 67 urban renewal area pursuant to the proposal submitted by Mr. Ryder.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve Bettendorf Industrial Park Highway 67 Urban Renewal Plan as submitted by Mr. Ryder. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I think, John, that brings us to you.
Mr. Chairman, the City Council at the May 1st Council meeting approved the preliminary plat for Cottage Grove First Edition. They also approved the site development plan at Betplex Second Edition for the hotel and the two new retail buildings. They approved the site development plan for the I-74 Technology Park for the additional buildings for Mr. Kellner. At the May 15th, last night, they approved the final plat of, they reapproved the final plat of 62nd Street Subdivision. They did not get the appropriate paperwork filed in the 60-day deadline, so it had to be reapproved. They set the date for the rezoning of the Woodlands First Edition. They also approved the first reading of the ordinances for the land use amendment and the rezonings of the Forest Grove drive from to urban medium intensity. I believe that brings you up to date.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order? I have one. Just remember, Whitey's are 85 cents single scoops today and free on Sunday. So that's your tip of the day. Get a cheap ice cream. They're pretty good. I've been there three times this week. So, and that we're adjourned.